predetermined objectives, we sort of phasing it in, and you'll see that we have reported findings in the audit report. Compliance, again, is a focus that it's an area that we started focusing on very much in the 10-11 financial year, and therefore you will see some findings on that in the audit report as well. In terms of the various audit opinions on slide page number 5, you have an unqualified, which is your ideal audit opinion. However, you could have an unqualified with what we call an emphasis of matter, that's in terms of the standards. So even if there are emphasis of matter paragraphs, it doesn't impact on the audit opinion. So your audit opinion is still unqualified. However, there are certain matters which we would like to bring to the attention of the user. And you'll find in the audit report, we do make reference to unauthorized and irregular expenditure under emphasis of matter, because we think it's quite significant and material to be brought to the attention of the user. You then have a qualified audit opinion. So we are going into more like a regressive type of opinion, where there are certain line items in the financial statements that the auditor is not happy with, and therefore his conclusion is, except for those line items, I'm happy with the rest of the financials. So it's not a pervasive issue throughout the financials, it's specific line items. Then you get a disclaimer and an adverse. Although the opinions are different, but both are bad, so no one is worse than the other. A disclaimer is where you're unhappy with various line items and they are pervasive throughout the financial statements, and primarily as a result that your audit procedures couldn't give you sufficient and appropriate audit evidence to conclude on those line items. Whereas with a qualification in specific line items, on a disclaimer you couldn't get audit evidence to satisfy yourself on various line items. And the main reason being that you did not get information, so we call it a limitation of scope. Then you get an adverse. This is where management has prepared financial statements that are not in compliance with the financial reporting framework, and there's a disagreement with the auditor. So in terms of the evidence obtained, you're supposed to have these amounts or prepare it in terms of that framework, but you've prepared it in some on some other framework, or your amounts are not substantiated by audit evidence. So then we have an adverse, which says that these financials do not fairly present. A disclaimer is where we would say we're unable to express an opinion, obviously, because we didn't get enough evidence based on the information that was submitted. So that basically talks through slides 6 and 7. Then going on to slide 8, which talks about the summary of audit outcomes. As I said earlier, that this Department of Women, Children and People with Disability is a new department. So this is the first year that we've audited the department, and is received an unqualified audit report. However, we do have an emphasis of matter paragraph regarding the unauthorized and irregular expenditure, as well as there's numerous findings on predetermined objectives and also in terms of compliance. And later on we will take you through what we think were the main reasons that contributed to this type of situation. Again, as we said earlier, the goal is for the department to strive to receive a clean audit report with no emphasis of matters, no other matters. In other words, your opinion is clean and your predetermined objectives are clean with no compliance findings. So that should be the ultimate goal of the department. In terms of the audit report structure, it's broken down into, you'll find up to the opinion part, it's primarily on your financial statements. And in this case, it's an unqualified audit report. Thereafter, you have your emphasis of matter, and thereafter you have your additional matters. In the case of this department, there's only one emphasis of matter, as I said earlier. You then come to what we call the legal and regulatory requirements. This comprises of compliance findings and predetermined objectives findings. Now, you will notice in this audit report that there's various matters reported under your predetermined objectives and your compliance side. However, we need to segregate between what has an impact on the financial statements and what doesn't. It's not necessary that your compliance issues will have an impact on the financial statements. For example, if you don't have an audit committee, it's got no impact on the figures in the financial statements. You don't have an internal audit unit. Obviously, there are contributory factors to what's reported in here, but it doesn't have a direct impact on the financial statements. So therefore, it's not necessary that you've got numerous compliance findings, why is your opinion unqualified? The two, in some instances, they are linked. For example, unauthorized irregular expenditure, there's amounts there which we have emphasized, but that is because it's been properly disclosed in the financial statements. It's not that we picked up any additional unauthorized or irregular expenditure. So therefore, it's disclosed in the financial statements, we've emphasized on it. The other non-compliance findings do not have an impact on the financial statements itself. When you talk of predetermined objectives, you'll find that it's very difficult from an audit point of view to actually state, and you'll find that through the findings that are there were no systems in place in the department. There was no proper approved strategic plan, and in the annual report they also make mention of that. So therefore, from an audit point of view, you'll find in the conclusion, in terms of the audit report findings, that you cannot determine whether what was actually performed and what is actually reported was actually intended in the first place in the absence of an approved strategic plan. So most of our findings actually talk to deficiencies in the strategic planning process, because there was no approved strategic plan, there was no system in place to determine what the objective should have been, what the indicators, the targets, etc. All those were set during the year, but there was no approved strategic plan. So what management has done was they've reported on what they've actually done, but it could not be linked to any approved document in the first place. So the majority of the performance or predetermined objectives findings talk to that. And under internal control, you'll see in the audit report again, we'll talk to later, we've actually identified deficiencies in all three fundamentals of internal control. So it's leadership, financial and performance management, and governance. Here again, being a new department, the majority of the deficiencies were identified in probably two areas. The one is the lack of governance structures. There was no audit committee, no internal audit, no risk assessment was performed. And secondly, due to the high level of vacancies, especially at senior management level, I think it was a 68% vacancy level, and those that were filled out of the balance of the 32% were filled sort of towards the latter end of the financial year, and it was difficult in terms of, you know, actually getting management to try and rectify all those issues. So there was quite extended audit effort to try and get the audit through, and that was primarily as a result of the vacancies that existed in the department. I'll then take you through slide number 12. The rest of it just explains exactly what I've explained earlier on. As I said, the audit report of the department is an unqualified audit opinion. There was an emphasis of matter on unauthorized and irregular expenditure, and primarily on predetermined objectives, what we've actually spoken about earlier. We were unable to determine what actually had to be done in order for us to determine that what they've done actually spoke to something that was intended initially, and you'll find that theme through the audit report in terms of the strategic planning process. The indicators that are in the document or in the annual report were not well defined. In other words, it's difficult to determine what was the actual intention of those indicators that are there. And also the targets were not smart. In other words, they were not specific, measurable, time-bound, relevant, and achievable. And that's primarily as a result of the absence of a strategic plan which was approved by the executive authority in terms of predetermined objectives. And going on to page number 14, the unauthorized and irregular expenditure, which we talk about in the emphasis of matter paragraph, there was an overspending of 3.7 million rand. That was the unauthorized expenditure. The irregular expenditure was primarily as a result of utilization of savings on capital expenditure to defray current over expenditure. So in other words, they had savings on payments on capital assets, and they used that to defray the overspending on the current portion of the expenditure. And in terms of the PFMA, this is not allowed. In going on to page number 15, our recommendation on the emphasis of matter paragraph is that and you'll find it in the internal control deficiency in the audit report, is primarily due to the lack, firstly, of in-year monitoring of actual expenditure against budget, and secondly, monthly reports were not prepared for the executive authority and for National Treasury, where you actually track your expenditure, actual expenditure to budget, what's remaining for the financial year, how are you going to track that expenditure, etc. So in other words, probably the expenditure was incurred and then it was a reactive process now that the department has overspent, and what do you do? So it was a lack of proper, you know, budgetary monitoring process throughout the year. On predetermined objectives, your findings are mainly as a result of the measurability and the relevance. That, in other words, there is no clear link between the objectives, the outcomes, outputs, indicators, and performance targets. And as I said earlier, that ideally you should have a strategic plan which is approved before your financial year commences. It's approved by the minister, tabled in parliament, etc. In the case of this department, you'll see in the annual report, they talk of a constituting framework which was developed at inception of the department. However, there were no strategic objectives in there. So what had happened was the department actually started doing work, and then they realized at the end that they have to now report on their performance, and they then determined objectives based on what they've actually performed, and then they reported on the actual achievement against those objectives. So there was no strategic plan, there were no predetermined objectives, and that's highlighted in the audit report. Secondly, there was no system in terms of collating the performance information, etc. And thirdly, the indicators and targets, as I said earlier, were not well defined, and they did not comply with the with what we call the SMART criteria. Our recommendation is that the department must have an approved strategic plan, and that should be approved before each financial year commences. For 11-12, they do have a strategic plan, and it was debated in the House, etc. And that strategic plan must conform to the SMART principles. And what you'll also find in the audit report is that the quarterly reports were not they were not submitted to and approved by the minister. They were submitted towards the end of the financial year, all four quarterly reports, and that's not exactly what's intended in terms of the regulations. Those reports should be submitted and approved by the minister each quarter. And this will enable the department and the minister to actually track progress in terms of what is the actual achievement versus what the targets are. And it's also important that the department should maintain some sort of evidence for the reported targets into how they've collated all that information, what are the processes that they have in place. So from an audit point of view, it becomes very easy to audit that information to determine the credibility thereof. Going on to page number 17, in compliance, this is a summary basically over the next two sheets of the deficiencies in terms of compliance that has been reported in the audit report. The first one, which I've made mention of quite a few times, is a strategic planning and performance management. There was no strategic plan in place, the quarterly report was ineffective, and there was no system in place for collating and for reporting on predetermined objectives. Secondly, it's on budget management. The first issue is that there was unauthorized expenditure. So in other words, the expenditure was not monitored against the budget throughout the year. Then the utilization of capital savings to defray current over expenditure, and non-submission of monthly reports to National Treasury. So those are the non-compliances on the budget matter, which we've also spoke to earlier. The next is on the financial statements. The financial statements that were submitted to the Auditor General for auditing on 31 May had to be revised due to material amendments identified during the audit process. So what we're saying is that the financial statements that we received on the 31st of May, and then the financial statements that you see in front of you in the annual report, are materially different. There were various line items which had to be adjusted as a result of the audit findings, and these were then corrected by management. Audit committee and internal audit, these were not in place throughout the year. Then on expenditure management, unauthorized and irregular expenditure was not prevented and detected by the department. And also there were instances of late payments to creditors, and they were not settled within 30 days of receipt of the invoice. Under procurement and contract management, you'll see in the annual report and the financial statements, there was an amount of 271,000 rand, which was identified where tax compliance or tax clearance certificates were not received by the department, but the department actually had utilized these suppliers as service providers. In human resource and compensation management, there were basically three findings there. There was no proper human resource planning. In other words, the purpose of the human resource plan is to ensure that you've got adequate resources when you need them and in which positions you need them. They are properly approved, the establishment is approved, you budgeted for them. So in other words, your budgeting and your human resource planning processes talk to each other. Secondly, performance agreements are not in place for senior managers. And thirdly, the Treasury regulation requires payroll certificates to be signed by persons in charge of pay points. So in other words, the line function manager should sign those payroll certificates as evidence that there's no ghost employees, that all the people that are being paid in terms of the payroll do actually work and exist in the department. So there were deficiencies in that process. And under revenue management, you see under receivables there's an amount of 3 million rand in the financial statements, which is still to be collected from officials. However, there was no process in place to actually follow up and collect that money. So in other words, the revenue management was processes are lacking in the department. In terms of recommendations on page 19, there should be a proper process of review of the financial statements prior to submission for audit to ensure compliance with all the reporting frameworks. To clear this issue of the tax clearance certificate, there should be a system in place, maybe via a checklist, which can be utilized by the supply chain management unit to prevent irregular expenditure from being incurred. Also, the 30-day time period in terms of making payments to service providers. And in this case, if it becomes an issue that's recurring, then there should be action taken against those individuals who are actually holding up the process, because it's a reputational risk for the department if suppliers are not paid within 30 days. Then risk management and governance, those two go together. In other words, risk management is a management function, but it is facilitated and it is done with the assistance of your internal audit unit. In the absence of an internal audit function, it becomes difficult for management to have a proper risk assessment and risk management process. So risk management, and then obviously the governance structures will support that, which is your internal audit and audit committee. These need to be given priority. Subsequent discussions after July with the department have indicated that there are strides being made in terms of establishing the audit committee and the internal audit unit. However, it's too soon to say how effective they are or what work has been performed, because we haven't yet been involved in the audit of the department subsequent to us issuing this audit report that you see in front of you. And lastly, under compliance, the vacancy rates are a matter of concern. There have been moves subsequent to year-end to fill critical vacancies, and I think management has taken this issue to heart. And these have to be filled. And if these vacancies are filled, then we are hopeful that that with senior management being there, the accountability will be enhanced, and proper internal controls will be put into place and monitored. And obviously, with the assistance of the internal audit unit and the audit committee as oversight functions, the proper structures can be put in place to oversee these things and to prevent non-repetition of audit findings. Then under internal controls, which is on page 21, that's basically what you're seeing in the audit report. We've summarized for you there in terms of the internal control deficiencies. The first two are under leadership, and as we mentioned earlier, the entire strategic planning process was inadequate, and that led to various findings in terms of compliance and determination of predetermined objectives, which have been highlighted in the audit report. The second one relates to your unauthorized and irregular expenditure, inadequate monitoring to ensure funds are utilized in accordance with the approved budget and for the purposes for which they were intended. as well as ineffective India monitoring of compliance with laws and regulations. If there had been a monitoring process throughout the year, then action could have been taken early on to bring in processes to prevent the non-compliance matters being raised. However, if you look at the vacancy levels, that could be a contributing factor. Then staff members, then the next one talks to the material adjustments made to financial statements. The staff members that were there, most of them were appointed right at the end of the financial year, and they had to then undertake this process of preparing financial statements. So we think that we could attribute this to probably inexperience, as well as the vacancy levels again, in terms of staff members preparing financial statements who did not fully understand the requirements of the financial reporting framework. However, the second one is a management function where there should be an adequate review of the financial statements prior to submission for auditing. And here we're talking at two levels. It's the CFO and the accounting officer who should properly in detail review those financial statements in order to ensure that they comply with the financial reporting framework. And every figure in the financial statements can be backed up by audit evidence. Risk assessment not conducted and governance structures as prescribed are not in place. So again, your risk management and internal audit and audit committee functions were not in place. Then the last slide that I have is in terms of other matters and mainly in terms of going forward. Again, the department has been advised to prepare an action plan. Now, this action plan, obviously there was no internal audit function in place. We normally recommend that it's done for internal audit and external audit findings. However, in this case, it will be as a result of external audit findings, where every audit finding that has been raised by the auditor, whether it's in the audit report, in the management report, it must be put onto a document and progress against that must be tracked. In terms of this action plan, the line management functions must be held responsible for the ultimate deliverable. However, some of the processes can be delegated to lower levels, but there has to be a time frame and there has to be a proper definite outcome. And these action plans must be tracked, ideally on a monthly basis, and also we normally track that through the audit process in our steering committee meetings, where we inform management that these deficiencies are not being addressed, and please, you need to take action urgently on these matters. So the important thing is for the department to actually have an action plan which is tracked with proper deliverables, proper due dates, and proper people assigned to those functions to prevent repetition of audit findings. Vacancies in key management positions were filled post-year-end. However, the impact in terms of the work being performed is not yet known because it's in a subsequent financial year. Internal audit and audit committee, we believe, is receiving attention. However, greater urgency is required as we already now through more than half of the 11-12 financial year. And these are functions that should be in existence for an entire financial year for them to be effective. In terms of the predetermined objectives, those findings need to be addressed because it is anticipated that in the near future, we will actually be expressing an opinion as the Auditor General on predetermined objectives in the audit report. So we're phasing in the process, but in the next few financial years, we are trying to go through to expressing a full opinion on predetermined objectives in the audit report. And lastly, management needs to develop processes in order to ensure that there's no compliance findings. And the best way of doing that is obviously with the establishment of an internal audit unit who alert management, although they are independent, they alert management to deficiencies in controls and in compliance. And management also needs to have what, we're not saying it's a separate function, but as part of internal audit, you could have governance, risk, and compliance sitting within there, which advises management on any compliance in any areas of compliance where the department is deficient, and this will enable management to proactively address the compliance issues so that we don't pick these up during the audit process. Thank you, Chair. That's it from my side.
Thank you very much. And I hope members were able to go through the report themselves. so that then they can be able, it will be easy to follow. Thank you, Mr. Isaac. I will give this opportunity to members to engage, but I also want to remind members that they should pose questions that are relevant to the AG, because we are still going to have an opportunity to engage with the department, so we shouldn't come here and ask questions that are relevant to the department, because the AG will not be won't be able to respond to those questions. However, in terms of unauthorized and wasteful expenditure, I'm not sure as to whether that has been reflected in the report as to what comprised that, you know, what made, you know, led to that. What are the activities, you know, that makes the fruitful, unfruitful and wasteful expenditure, unless, you know, there is this portion that Member Robinson is interested in, you know, the officials that travel to New York. maybe that is the one, because I'm not sure, you know, what comprises that, and perhaps if you can help us, because we know that most of the time they say, you know, the expenditures, most high expenditures are as a result of travel. So if you can explain that one. Members, are you ready to pose questions? Can you maybe respond to this one whilst they are still looking for, thinking for you know, comments or questions?
Okay, the unauthorized expenditure, you have to refer to the annual report. On page 40, which is the audit report, we talk about 3.729 million rand, which is the unauthorized expenditure, so that's the overspending. Then if you look at the appropriation statement on page 57, you'll find under point 4, explanations of material variances from amounts voted, and you'll see that the biggest line item that was affected there in terms of the over expenditure is administration. And if you see the response, I think it confirms what you're expecting in terms of over expenditure was due to overseas travel and accommodation that were not initially planned for, including payments for stakeholders that were not initially provided for, and travel expenditure for officials that were seconded to the department, as well as the cost of re-advertising vacant posts. So I think primarily the reason is that there was over expenditure on the S&T.
Before I hand over, can you tell us exactly what is the amount, you know, that made that travel that led to the over expenditure? Because here you are saying, as a result of travel and accommodation that was not planned for, including payments for stakeholders and you know, but if I look at this table here on page 57, I actually cannot, I think that was our main concern, to say we would like to know the exact amount, you know, for travel and accommodation.
Okay, the exact amount is 16 million rand. And you'll find that under, in the financial statements. I'll just quickly take you through that. It's under note, on page 77, under note 5.5.
it looks like members are quite satisfied with the financial statement. I think most of the questions seems to be questions that will be referred to the department. Is that so, members? Okay. That's sweet and so short. On that note, then, thank you very much, and the meeting is adjourned.